time.
Without further ado,
WBSM presents The Barry Richards Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Text us using app chat on the WBSM app. Now, The Barry Richards Show.
Hi, 207 on a Wednesday afternoon, 508-996-0500. We are still inside 48 hours of the great blizzard of 26. And all in all, things are, we're recovering, right? It's taking a while. And it's going to be difficult for people for the next few days anyway to get around. But I think we should be all set by the weekend. Record 37 inches of snow. That is absolutely mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. So I mentioned that President Trump during his speech last night threw Massachusetts out there as, having even more corruption in terms of SNAP benefits and all of that kind of stuff, public benefits, than Minnesota. And Tim Dunn wrote a piece, Expert, Massachusetts among worst states in SNAP payment errors, fraud detection. And it's up. You can go visit BostonHerald.com. You can take a look at it. Now, Massachusetts is among the worst states in the country in fraud detection, according to an expert. Several public benefits fraud schemes have been uncovered recently by both federal and state investigators after the Herald published shocking claims of rampant SNAP fraud and lackluster efforts to stop it by Department of Transitional Assistance, DTA whistleblower. When Massachusetts officials say they don't have a problem, they clearly have a problem. Massachusetts is in the top five of the worst states in fraud detection and payment error rate for SNAP, said Haywood Talkov, the CEO and data analysis, or he's with the data analytics company LexisNexis. Talkov has a resume that includes 2 years on the U.S. Secret Service, raids busting SNAP fraud in rings nationwide. He's also testified before Congress on the issue of public fraud. He said it comes to rooting out SNAP fraud in Massachusetts. Talkov says it should start with eliminating the state's current self-certification policy to become eligible to accept EBT payments. Massachusetts has roughly 5,600 EBT vendors, of which 70% are convenience stores. Talkov says transnational criminal organizations use these businesses, most commonly convenience stores, as a vehicle to carry out significant amounts of SNAP fraud. He goes on to explain it all. It's a good story. You may want to read this. This is Boston Herald today. Tim Dunn. And President Trump alluded to Massachusetts yesterday and in his speech and posted over the weekend three of Tim Dunn's stories about SNAP fraud in Massachusetts to his social media page, Truth Social. And then last night announced that Vice President J.D. Vance will be heading up the effort to fight the war on fraud. So a lot of interesting stuff there. Massachusetts is right in the forefront of it. 508-996-0500 is the number, and you are up next on WBSM. Good afternoon.
Hey, Barry, it's good to hear your voice again.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, I miss you, believe it or not, when you're on the radio. But I'm calling to say that that question that Trump asked yesterday in regards to those that believe that the first right of the U.S. government is to protect U.S. citizens?
Yeah.
Well, I wish he would have formed it in a different way. Because, Barry, if you read the Constitution, right, the preambles of the Constitution, and one of them states, and I'm quoting here, to promote the general welfare, fostering the environment where all citizens, it states it that clearly, all citizens can prosper. That's in the Constitution.
So what is your point, though? The illegal immigrants are not citizens.
Yeah. So I wish President would have said, I wish he would have read that preamble where it states that the government's responsibility is to all citizens. It's in the Constitution. If you believe that this shouldn't be in the Constitution, staying up, something like that, to bring it home, because people don't realize it's in the Constitution. That's their first priority.
Mm.
It's to all citizens. I mean, it can't be any clearer than that in the Constitution, you know?
Yeah.
You read the preambles right there.
I thought it was a marvelous trap that Trump set for them because he knew they weren't going to stand up.
Yeah, but if you were to use the Constitution, and you know, when you become a congressional member, you have to take an oath to uphold the Constitution. That's what you're doing when you raise your right hand.
Yep.
So if you're taking an oath to, you know, uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution states clearly all citizens, then what's the problem here? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it just it shows what their priorities are. And obviously their priorities are not you and me.
Yeah, but, you know, I just wish he would have delivered that punchline with the Constitution because a lot of people were watching that that speech. And, you know, they take an oath for the, to uphold the Constitution, and yet they're not. So
remind them of their oath. Here's the oath you took. Do you stand by that?
There you go. You said it better than I did.
Yeah.
To remind them of the oath that they took. I think the delivery could have been more powerful. But overall, the speech was a little bit too long. I think he could have cut a half hour off it. But it was a good speech, especially with the economy stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I went to Market Basket. Eggs were $2.29.
Wow.
Right? And the gas is like, what, under $2.50 now somewhere? So the news is telling you the economy is bad. The opposite of what they did for Biden.
Well, you know, the president is finally taking the advice that you gave him some months ago, and that is get out there and sing the praises of the economy. You're accomplishing a lot. You got to get out there and you got to let the people know. And that's what he's doing. He's doing these rallies now all across the country, and he's going to be hammering them hard. The rallies work well for Trump, and he's going to be out there doing that between now and the midterms, talking about how good the economy is. So he heard your call.
I'm glad he did, because, you know, I think the first half hour yesterday was on the economy.
Mm.
And that's going to be the winner. And, you know, depending what state you're in, you know, some gas is under $2.
Well, wait till people get their tax checks back this year and, you know, see how much more money they're going to get in their tax cut. People are taking home a lot more money in their paychecks, too. And if you live outside of Massachusetts, you're going to no longer be tipped on Social Security, overtime pay, and tips.
You know, Barry, last year I paid $730 in federal taxes.
Yeah.
And because this year there's no tax on Social Security, I didn't have to pay nothing. So myself, I
Well, you're gonna pay a state tax on it because Moore Healey won't waive it.
No, the state tax I got to pay, but the federal tax
will be
a lot
done.
More.
Yeah,
it'll be none. You know what I mean? So that was a blessing right there. You know?
Yeah.
And that was due to no tax on Social Security for the elderly. You know?
Yeah. Then you shouldn't have to pay any state tax on it, but you will have to, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So.
No mercy there. You know what I mean?
There you go. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. 508-996-0500 is the number. And you are next on WBSM. Good afternoon.
Hey, Barry. You sound better.
Oh, man. I think I sound worse, but that's just me.
No. I watched the president last night. I was proud.
Yeah.
And the one thing that makes me angry is that Alejandro Mayorkas, the a guy who let all these invaders into my country, the criminal element in that group, raped, murdered people, you know, just crippled our hospitals. I mean, you can't even get into a hospital without a wait. And when you're paying for a lot of these people through your taxes, and you have the crying liberals. Oh, boy, you know. Well, you know what? I'm glad I have a president that's going to protect the citizenry from invaders. And I don't give a damn about that Governor Healey. I don't give a damn about the Maine governor, the New Hampshire governor, the three females who don't know what the hell they're doing. They're going to tax everyone to death. And they don't give a damn about the citizenry and the Democratic electorate are just stupid enough to vote them back in. And they have nothing but to blame themselves for their own misery, you know. And let me tell you, if Republicans don't get into the South Coast in governmental affairs, then, you know, shame on the people, I tell you.
Well, we finally got some media that's working out there. I mean, Tim Dunn has been a blessing for us at the Boston Herald, and he's breaking these big stories, and he's doing the investigation on the SNAP benefits because nobody else would do it. Globe's not doing it. Channel 4's not doing it. 5, 7, none of the Boston stations are doing this stuff. Tim Dunn and the Boston Herald have been all over it. Drew the attention of the president the other day. Drew the attention of Fox News. DeSaglio was on talking about it a week ago Saturday. Tim himself was on Fox News on this past Saturday talking about it. So now there's a lot of attention. But apparently the way the president talked about it last night, they're already working on Massachusetts. So hopefully things are not a foregone conclusion in Massachusetts. And hopefully we're going to see some change coming up this fall. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you very much. Let me grab the next one. You are next on WBSM. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Barry, Don, Soton. I got some snow here. Did you get any snow, too?
A couple of flakes. Did they plow your street? Are you all mad or what?
Well, yeah, they did it gently. It took them a while to get here on the old Stoughton back roads and that there. But, yeah, they got around to it and that. But, man, I don't like this. Way too much snow.
Yeah, yeah. It, fortunately, it's going to go away pretty fast. It's going to be up in the 40s this week. So, you know, and that sun is getting higher in the sky. So, you know, it's gonna start to melt. I'm optimistic.
God, I hope so. Now, a gentleman was on talking about the income taxes and that there. And, you know, I've done a lot of research, Barry. And every tax must have a constitutional function upon which it is spent. Okay? During World War II, they made wages comparable to income. Income is the gain that you get or interest on money that you invest. All right, if I invested in stocks and bonds, the money I get back, if it's, you know, additive, it's called income. Income is not wages. You see, the principle is never affected unless the company goes out of business. But when you go to work every day, the principle is diminished by those hours that you put in. So you can't ascribe wages as being income. But they did it sneakily during World War II, and then they kept the tax on. But the point I'm trying to make here is, with LBJ, the Great Society, and the War on Poverty, where he redistributed money from people who earned it to, quote, people who didn't have enough money, you can't do that. First off, it's not in the Constitution. But, Barry, this is an open-ended tax. It never ends. It's so unconstitutional. But if you and I sat down in New Bedford with anybody over the age of 18, they wouldn't know what we were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Unbelievable.
You want to hear two funnies about the snowstorm of 78?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. As I was coming home from Dedham, I just pulled in down Sumner Street past the Goddard Hospital, and I see a man driving out on his motorcycle with a sidecar.
No kidding.
The snow is over the cylinders of his BMW. Yeah, who's one of the doctors, I found out. But evidently, I guess he came from Germany. But and then my buddy's wife's sister, her and her boyfriend were just able to make it home to Canton, okay? So they're in the house. The girlfriend is going, I have to get my car. I have to get my car. I have to get my car. Well, where is it? It's at the railroad station in Westwood, right off of 128. And her boyfriend said, no, 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 no. If we go there, we're going to get stuck there. Well, she wouldn't stop. So they went down there in his car, and they got stuck at the railroad station for like 5 days and had to sleep on the floor when they were comfortable at home.
Wow. Unbelievable. There were a lot of stories like that. A lot of people getting stuck all over the place during the blizzard of 78. I don't think we had so much of that this time because, you know, people were pretty much hunkered down on Sunday night, you know, waiting for this thing. So that probably is a good thing. And that's probably why a few of people died as a result, too. I haven't heard of any deaths as related to this storm. That's not to say there weren't any. I just haven't heard of any. Thank you, Don. I got a hold of you there, my friend. Appreciate it. 508-996-0500. Got to do the break. And we're going to come right back after this, so stay tuned. You're listening to WBSM.
Tales.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, like a date with my wife, or going out together with my family and friends. Things that we couldn't afford, thanks to Vectix. Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. And love, life's sweetest reward. Let it flow. It floats back to you.
Don't you wish you were out on the Love Boat right now? It is 2:27 on a It's a Wednesday afternoon. You know, between being on vacation, coming back late midweek last week, and then being off the beginning of this week, coming back midweek, my whole sense of days and times are kind of off kilter. 508-996-0500. You're up next on WBSM. Good afternoon.
Hi, am I on?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Barry, I thought one of the best things that Trump proposed the other night was to end congressional insider trading for all the members of Congress. I thought that was one of the best things that he proposed last night.
Yeah.
I can't see how Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren can be, you know, for the people and be benefiting from that when people like Martha Stewart went to jail for that. What say you?
Well, that certainly got a quite a rousing response from both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. Well, I hope they follow through with it, and I hope he continues to bring it up if they don't, you know, because again, that should not be a benefit. Like you worked for Bernie Sanders, didn't you? At one time, he wasn't that well off, and all of a sudden, the guy's a multimillionaire, but he's going around saying that there's an upper class and all that sort of stuff, and he's part of the upper class.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders and I, the time that I worked for him, which was a very brief period, but I covered him as mayor, he lived in a small two-family house, one-family house in the neighborhood. Now, all of a sudden, he's got three big mansions, including one on Lake Champlain. Now, you don't supposed to be that rich by being in Congress. I understand that Bernie did write some books and he made some money off of that, but still.
But I think the big money is in the stock market. How about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Has she become a millionaire yet, too?
Well, she's got a lot of tips. Yeah, she's a millionaire. She's got a lot of tips. She gave good advice, behind the bar. You know how you always said, talk to your bartender, right? And So she gave a lot of good advice, and so they tipped her well. That must have been it. I don't know.
All I can say is what hypocrites. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
All right, Barry. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it, my friend. Thank you. 508-996-0500 is the phone number. And, I thought it was hilarious when Trump asked if Nancy Pelosi was in the House and if she had raised her hand on that. We haven't had a chance to talk about this. It happened last Friday, and I wasn't here, obviously, on Monday and Tuesday. And there's been so many other things that have overtaken events. But the passing on Friday of Biff McLean, 91 years old, he died Friday night. Former Senator McLean, he was state senator before Mark Montigny. He was senator for 32 years. You have been out to the UMass campus. There is a building named after him, William Biff McLean, or William Q. McLean building. It's the, I don't think it's the arts building, but it's one of those buildings anyway. And there's a piece today, Colin Hogan, actually it was a couple of days ago up on New Bedford Light, The Long Shadow of William Biff McLean. And Colin writes, though his official tenure in politics ended in 1993 when McLean pled guilty to two conflict of interest charges and was forced to surrender his state pension and pay more than $500,000 in fines, his influence in both Boston and New Bedford was unyielding. We talk about corruption in politics, right? Isn't that corruption? So the guy was forced to resign, pled guilty to two conflict of interest charges now, and had to pay $500,000 in fines. Now, my memory of it, and I know I'm getting a little long in the tooth, but my memory of it was if you plead guilty to these lesser charges and resign, we won't prosecute you. And yet for... God knows how many years, over 30 years, right? 40 years, maybe? Well, 93, right? 2003, 2013, 2009, over 30 years. Biff McLean has influenced Boston and New Bedford politics. As Colin Hogan writes in his story, his influence in both Boston and New Bedford was unyielding. Even though he was retired, Biff had significant influence in persuading the State House to approve the merger of UMass Dartmouth and the Southeastern or the Southern New England Law School in 2010, said John Bullard, the former mayor of New Bedford. Bullard said the coterie of officials from the university, the law school, and nearby local governments all leaned more on Biff than any elected representative almost 20 years after he had retired. McLean's personal influences and legislative wrangling helped to create or sustain such a long list of South Coast institutions that it might be hard to imagine the region without his touch. The only public law school in Massachusetts, the original SMAST Marine Science Building in New Bedford, the former Star Store Arts Campus, even UMass Dartmouth itself, when the school became the newest branch of a re-imaged statewide system. The Zyterian Nativity Prep School, the Ernestina Morrissey, Bristol Community College, St. Luke's Hospital, each of these pillars of the South Coast, plus churches, charities, and an untold quantity of never-publicized gifts and favors to friends and local businesses have depended on Biff McLean. Biff was a master of the legislative process at State Senator Mark Montigny, who succeeded McLean in the upper house, one of the nation's oldest legislatures. Before serving in the Senate, McLean joined the legislature's lower house, the House of Representatives, in 1961, served for 20 years there, including as a majority leader. So how is it that somebody who has to resign office and pay $500,000 in fines due to public corruption, how does he remain so influential? Still have that much of a pull? And obviously he's still worshipped. I mean, between Biff McLean and Jack Markey and what they used to call the Irish Mafia around these parts, you know, it's absolutely incredible. All right, let me grab the break. We're going to come right back after this. Stay tuned.
BSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, like a date with my wife, or going out together with my family and friends, things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetTix.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they, too, can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Looking for a meaningful way to engage with members of your community and make a difference? Volunteer with the Massachusetts Senior Medicare Patrol Program and help prevent Medicare fraud. SMP volunteers work in their community, educating their peers about how to prevent, detect, and report healthcare errors, fraud, and abuse. Visit our volunteer open house at masmp.org. Join our team and help us fight fraud. Together, we can make a difference. This project is supported by a grant from the U.S. Administration for Community Living.
Dangers rarely lie out in the open, so no matter where you live, it's important to know harmful pests can hide in and around your home.
Here I come!
Rodents and cockroaches are drawn to food waste and garbage.
I know you're out here.
Ticks lurk in tall grasses, and mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water.
I can hear you.
Rodents, ticks, and mosquitoes can all spread dangerous diseases.
I gotcha.
Seek the facts you need at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. It is 2:38 now on a Wednesday afternoon. Still a chance of a shower or a flurry before today is over. And some sunshine, milder temperature tomorrow. We'll check that forecast for you from the WPRI 12 Weather Center coming up as a part of our news at the top of the hour. So stay with us. So the Massachusetts House has been on break now for a little while. I think since February 11th. And the storm extended that break. They're going to get back to work tomorrow. And according to State House News Service, the House plans to vote tomorrow on a energy affordability proposal that would take a $1 billion bite out of the Mass Save program, an attempt to hold utility companies accountable in a volatile energy landscape. They hear the noise from the public, and they're going to do something about it. A House leader said Bay Staters would see immediate cost savings because of the cuts to Mass Save, the state's energy efficiency program. Customers would also get rebates when electric utilities and energy suppliers are penalized for not purchasing enough renewable energy. The wide-ranging bill also addresses nuclear energy, offshore wind, and solar power. The House Ways and Means Committee released the new bill yesterday. It will save ratepayers $9 billion over the next 10 years by cutting unnecessary funding for Mass Save, diverting environmental compliance payments from electricity suppliers back to residents, and by positioning Massachusetts to further diversity and modernize its energy grid, according to House Speaker Ron Mariano. You know, it cracks me up. If how do you have $9 billion over the next 10 years in unnecessary funding for Mass Save and all these other proposals? $9 billion in unnecessary funding. Well, you're out there sweating your butt off to try to pay your utility bills. They've got $9 billion in unnecessary spending that they're putting on your back. Wow. The bill is a redraft of the legislation that the House's Energy Committee supported in the fall, but it does not include the committee's proposal, Ways and Means Committee's proposal, to change the state's binding mandate to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 50% below 1990 levels by 2030. So that's still their objective. The latest draft is the product of meetings House leaders held with all members, according to Ways and Means Committee Chairman Aaron Michalowicz. I never stumble all over his name. Aaron Michalowicz. $1 billion cut to the Mass Save budget would come primarily from its marketing, advertising, and administrative budgets, said Michalowicz. Think about that for a minute. They're going to take $1 billion away from Mass Save, which has been killing you, right? It's been killing you with your bills. And what was that money even earmarked for in the first place? Marketing, advertising, and administrators. That's all based on reports of inefficiencies in those departments. It would also require a Mass Save eligibility review and require the Office of Inspector General to review and report on the program by July 2027. You want to talk about government waste, fraud, and abuse, right? And corruption. How is it they can just all of a sudden say, oh, yeah, we can cut $9 billion from this program? But it's not going to be a big deal. $1 billion of it anyway comes from marketing, advertising, and administrative costs. Suckers. Michalowicz said it's time to, quote, look under the hood of Mass Save to see how we can be more efficient with the program and also understand why it has grown exponentially over the last decade. Under the bill, the Department of Energy Resources, in consultation with the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center, would have to return 70% of alternative compliance payments, ACPs, to ratepayers until July 1 of 2029. Electric utilities and energy suppliers pay penalties known as ACPs if they don't meet the state's renewable energy purchasing requirements. Well, you know how this all got to be out of control, right? Why it has grown so much over the last decade. You know why. People are making a lot of money off of you. This is all the Green New Deal crap. right? And all of the politicians and all of their pals that are getting contracts and so on and so forth, they're making tons of money off you. Well, $9 billion over the next 10 years. Then they just realize, well, we don't really need that. Some people in Boston must be getting extremely nervous. After July 1, 2029, Bickerwood said a permanent trigger would require ACP payments to be returned to ratepayers under certain conditions. Energy affordability has become a central policy and political issue on Beacon Hill and in the 2026 gubernatorial race. Governor Maura Healey has filed her own energy affordability plan and in January pledged to oppose any major rate hikes proposed by utilities. She also announced that the state would spend $180 million as part of a bid to temporarily reduce residential electric and gas bills this winter. But you got to pay most of it back. You know, these folks in Boston, the power brokers, the governor, reading the tea leaves. How is it that you put out a plan calling for $9 billion that you're going to collect from ratepayers through Mass Save? And then all of a sudden realize, well, we don't really need that. That's a little bit. $9 billion. Why did it wait until February of 2026 when the governor's up for re-election this year? Why? So the House is going to take that up tomorrow. Massachusetts economists are expecting to learn in April that employment growth has been slower than originally estimated across Massachusetts as they flag weaknesses in the state's labor market. Massachusetts' real gross state product increased at an annual rate of 1% in the last quarter of 2025 as consumer spending slowed and a government shutdown reduced federal spending in Massachusetts, according to Mass Benchmarks. U.S. GDP increased at an annual rate of 1.4%, according to the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis. The fourth quarter numbers reflect a slowdown. In the third quarter of 2025, Massachusetts and U.S. GDP grew at annual rates of 3.3% and 4.4%, respectively. According to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, according to editors of the Economic Journal published by the University of Massachusetts Amherst Donahue Institute, in cooperation with Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, Bay State growth was held back by a labor force and demographic challenges like an older population profile, lower levels of international immigration, followed by changes in federal immigration policy and enforcement, and elevated net domestic out-migration related as part of the state's high cost of living. So it's all on the, it's all the Massachusetts growth is in the toilet. And it's all because the Trump administration is deporting illegal immigrants. It's Trump's fault. Of course it's Trump's fault. It's always Trump's fault. Oh, and the people are getting older here in Massachusetts. People are getting older. How about the fact that you drove everybody out of this state with high taxes and strict regulations? You forced everybody out. Businesses have been closing left and right. We've been averaging about two a week. People are moving. Yeah, lower levels of international immigration following changes in federal immigration policy. Nothing is ever the fault of these local politicians in Massachusetts. Nothing's ever their fault. Everything's always Washington. It's always Washington's fault. Let me just offer some suggestions for this governor and the one who follows her. That if you reduce the cost of doing business in Massachusetts, reduce spending, reduce taxes, cooperate and kick illegal aliens the hell out of this state, you'll see the economy pick up. Repeal the millionaire's tax. Stop telling people what kind of furnace they got to have or what kind of car they can drive. Stop this mass save baloney with $9 billion. They just realized, hey, we don't need that money. We can save it. Relative to the same quarter of 2024, employment in Massachusetts was unchanged in the fourth quarter of 2025, while the nation experienced a 0.2% employment growth. This likely underestimates the state's relative weakness, the journal editors wrote. The national figures incorporate annual revisions to the employment data, which lowered estimated employment growth since March of 2024 by roughly 1 million persons. And on it goes. Let me get the break and we're going to come right back after this. Stay tuned. You will listen to GW. He heard one guitar. All right, welcome back into the program. It is now 2:56. So a couple of things here. A whole pile of National Guard and equipment have just arrived in Fall River. And they are doing staging right now at Bishop Connolly. And Representative Carol Fiola says that you should start to notice a huge difference, in the situation of Fall River almost immediately. And so that's good news. Also, just happened to spot on social media that the town of Dartmouth has canceled school for tomorrow. And I assume there's going to be a lot of others as well. I know Fall River is canceled for the rest of the week. If you go on WBSM.com, yeah, Dartmouth Public Schools, Thursday, February 26th. No school in Dartmouth. I think probably you're going to see that with many of the other communities as well. I'm looking at my, just checking my email right now to see if there's any notification from New Bedford Public Schools about tomorrow, and still nothing there. But, I'd be my guess that you'll probably see that as well. But go to WBSM.com, all of the cancellations. You can find a link to all the cancellations there. And it's been a tough week, right? It's been a I'm just there trying to go there for you so I can see if I can see any. Hang on just a second. I might be able to give you some news on that end about schools in just a second. I'm trying to find it here. Yeah, my bad. I don't have it right here in front of me. Sorry about that. I thought I did. Hold on. Yeah, but it's up there on the website. I just don't, for the moment, I just don't have access to it. So I apologize for that, but check it out. We'll have it for you. Tim will be along in the morning, too, with all of the latest information. So but that's the word for today. Glad to have been able to make it back here today and be able to share some time with you. still pouring through all of my notes here because I know I've got less than a minute, but I just... I want to make sure I get everything that's important here for you. Anything else I need to? No, I guess not. I think I got all the highlights today, what I wanted to get in. If you did not get to see the president's speech last night, you may want to watch it. It is available on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in President Trump's State of the Union or SOTU, and it'll pop up. And you can watch it for yourself. I thought it was an enjoyable speech. They said it was the longest State of the Union, breaking his previous record for the longest State of the Union. But it was pure Trump. And I think you'll enjoy it if you hadn't seen it. Maybe watch it a second time. I don't know. All right, we're going to wrap things up here. It is time to head into the newsroom. We've got ABC News coming up, followed by W.